Lord, as Lord God, we study your word. Keep us firm in your words. May we study and live them out. In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so this morning, if you would take out your bulletin, turn to your back. We're going to be in Mark chapter 3. We're going to be in one verse. And when I mean one verse, I mean half of one verse. This has kind of come across my mind, especially in the last week of what's been happening and what the news is coming out and people, the shock value. And I'm really wondering, you know, is it really a shock value? This morning from Mark chapter 3, verse 22, the word is Beelzebub. So let's read this together if we would. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebub, and by the prince of demons, he casts out the demons. What we have in this verse, when we link it with the other gospels, right before this, Jesus is casting out demons. This is not Jesus going around and healing people of mental diseases. This is actually an attack. This is actually a possession, which means the demonic forces are actually taking control of people. All right? And so demons go that far. They will spare no expense. And the problem is that the Pharisees were coming to Jesus and basically saying, well, you're making yourself better and more popular by taking on other demons. And you're just more powerful. And so the problem is that they really raise a question here. Is it really Satan versus Satan? And when you look at the world today, do you really see a world of Satan versus Satan? And the problem is, I don't necessarily see that. I don't see Satan versus Satan. I see a very different world. And when we take a look at what's really going on in the world, what's really happening, and I don't think Satan has to take on himself in order to win. I think we're really doing a really good job for him. That's, I think, the problem. And so when I take a look at what's really happening in the world, I really ask myself, what's the first thing that Satan attacked? Because I think once you go back to the very beginning, I think Satan is very predictable, and I think he's a pattern guy. I really do. So go back to the very beginning. Satan comes to the woman in the garden, and he says, Did God really say? Okay, so what does that mean? So if the Satan asks, what does God really say? What does God really say? And so the problem being is that Satan puts doubt into our minds about what God says. So the question is God's word something that is, when you go out and you poll people, when you ask them about scriptures, does God reveal himself today? And most people would say, well, not really. Not really, because is one of the big problems is this. This is what is kind of going out there. That truth is always changing. And so basically, especially with the young people, you guys are living in a dangerous, dangerous time. And I don't want to exchange. I don't want to do that whole thing. I don't want to live in your shoes. You have some huge obstacles in your life. Because the problem is, we have gotten to this age-old question. Satan is really good right now saying, did God really say? Which means, what do you think? Well, what's your opinion? Because your opinion is worth more than anything else. And so if you just hold to your opinion is true no matter what. So we can have two people, one saying that gravity is reality, and one saying there is no gravity. Only one can be right at the same time. There's only one way to prove that, right? Problem is that even, no matter what you say, doesn't matter. In this world, everyone's supposed to have a valid opinion, and both opinions are supposed to be true. And the problem is, either there's gravity or there's not gravity. If you're aching right now, like I am playing softball, reality. Reality. It's a reality. And so do you remember the good old days? You remember the good old days? We had a saying. We had a saying down south. We had a different culture down there. And when you go shopping for a cowboy hat, because that's what you do when you're in the South, if you want to fit in. And so when you go looking for a hat, the person will supposedly look at what you buy. Because it used to be, you remember in I don't want to say the old Westerns. Because when I was working with youth and I said, what do you consider a person old? At what age is a person old? They said someone in their 20s. And so in the Westerns, when the guy would come in and he would come in to really change the day and change what was really going on, he would wear a hat. And what color was his hat? He would wear a white hat, and you knew when the bad guys would come in, right? Because what kind of color hat would they wear? Okay, so even in Hollywood, at a certain time, you would already know by watching what people wore, you would kind of, that's a bad guy, that's a good guy. If John Wayne rolls up, that's a good guy. All right, that's our focus. Problem is, have you noticed Hollywood changing? Do you notice that now you can have a movie and the good guy is good here, bad here, and then we don't know by the end? That they've given them so many complexes that we don't know whether to cheer for him or whether we want him gone from the movie? It's tough. And even I'm remarking to my wife the other day, I said, you know, I'm watching this movie, and in the last movie, he was the most hated man in the entire universe, and all of a sudden, now he's the savior of the universe. Which one is it? Because what we're telling our kids is that good people are bad and bad people are good. Which one is it? We can't make up our minds, and so I really kind of wonder. What hat do I need to wear? What hat do I need to wear? And so I began to wonder, what are we teaching you guys? What are you guys supposed to be learning? And the problem is that mankind has no value. You ever notice that? You ever talk to a young teen? What you're being fed right now is that you have no value. We get to teach you in high school. We get to take you, put you into classes which are mandatory, and then teach you. You have no value by what we are teaching you. And we say, well, you have to go through that. You ever wonder why when you open up the newspaper that there's nothing really good in it anymore? And so I just begin to wonder that. These three things. You in high school, we will teach our kids that you are just evolved matter. You were a monkey back here. You are a man or a woman today. And therefore, what you are is there's no value in it. It's just one day you learned how to pick up a tool, and now you're using power tools. That's the only difference. And so we've lost who we are when God says, you are my child. That has no value anymore because we've taken out God, so therefore he cannot tell us that we are worth something. You ever notice what's happening in Hollywood this week? Did anyone see that? You want to see what's happening in Hollywood? The news came out of what, New York and Paris? Did anyone notice that? Two people decided that their lives weren't worth anything. They had money, a lot of money. They had a lot of fame. They had a lot of everything that this world has. And yet, at the very end of things, they thought they had no value. No value whatsoever. And so the end of their lives were basically the same. They took their own life because there was nothing for them in the future. And so I'm just really beginning to wonder, if we take God and His Word out of the public square, out of films, out of everything, do you not get that we are not, Hollywood says you're not worth anything. And so without Christ, if you take Christ out of everything, do you not see that that's what we get? There's no reason for living. There's no reason to help each other out. There's no reason for anything else, and there's no hope for anything else in this world. That we look around and say, you know what? This world is not Satan versus Satan. Satan's really happy right now. Because he only has to do a little work, and we'll take his anger, his bitterness, and we'll multiply it. And so when I take a look at this, there's got to be something different. There's got to be something different. The CDC, Center for Disease Control, put out recently in the newspaper a map of the United States. And there is, within the last 20 years, a 30% rise in suicide rates. 30% rise in suicide rates. The highest suicide per state is North Dakota. Over 40-something percent. It's between, I think, somewhere around 45 to 50%. I'll say around 45%. Where's North Dakota? I believe it's the next state over. Do you know who's right behind them that's over 40%? We're living there. We're living in a state in which the rise in suicide rates is above 40%. The question is that acceptable? I noticed something that the newspapers, every report that does it comes out and says we want to hover at 30,000 feet and we want to look at this problem and say, you know, what's the real problem? The problem that they come up with is mental health. I come up with a small different problem that we're not even wanting to address. Mark chapter 3, verse 28. Let's read this together. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemes they utter. Do you get the big long word in this? There's two of them. And one of them we like to focus on way too much, the other one we don't. The problem I look at in here is that when the Pharisees talk to Jesus, they got one thing out of their vocabulary, and that is forgiveness. When you look at what they talked about with Jesus, they did not talk about forgiveness. They talked about what you had to do, how you had to walk and toe the line. And Jesus tries to get them to say is that you're focusing too much on the darkness and not about God's light. I'm right here in front of you talking about God wanting to forgive you, and you're talking about wanting to keep people away from God's forgiveness. So what Jesus is really trying to tell the Pharisees is, do you realize you're helping Satan out? You're not opposing him, you're helping him. You're keeping people away from why I came, the total idea of the Messiah that would come for you to save you from your sins, and you want to tell people there is no Messiah, there is no forgiveness. So their truth is, there is either forgiveness or there isn't. And where is that forgiveness found? Only one person in the entire universe can tell us really where it is found. It's found in Jesus Christ. And when he came to earth, he wanted everyone to know that when we look at what the world is going through today, that is the hope we have. That Jesus says, there's always going to be troubles. There's always going to be everything, famines, earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars. There's always going to be something to plague your mind. And it's always going to get to you. You're always going to stop and say, you know what, if there was a good and gracious God, things like this wouldn't happen at the same time. Think about this. God says Satan's rule is coming to an end, and he don't like it too much. I've picked out the day and time when he will end for good. And he's already marked that out. He's already showed Satan his end. And Satan's like, well, you know what? I can either try to get as many people as possible, or I can try to just let God win. Satan is alive and well, and he's working in us. He's working in our homes, and he's working in this family here. His biggest thing is he wants to keep us away from the outside world. He wants us to think that by taking Jesus to the world is a bad thing. He wants us to be comfortable. He wants us to say, you know what, there's nothing else left in this world. Problem being is that I have this idea that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world, and only in him do we find real peace. And so when you go out from here, I want you to know that there is a truth, and the truth is that Jesus Christ loved us so much that he died for our sins. And if we don't believe anything else in this world, believe this: God loved us that much. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us, Lord, as, Lord God, this life is sometimes difficult. Lord, help us see that, Lord God, all the images that are coming out of news, Lord God, those are things that don't always proclaim the good. We don't always see the great things that are happening because you lead other people. We don't always see the stories of love. We see the stories of hate. Lord, help us understand that in order to do that, we need to tell of your story and what you have done for us with this family, with the family that Lord God, you have chosen to join in with believers. Lord God, that we may understand that, Lord God, there is hope in your name. We understand that, Lord God, our lives take on new meaning, and our meaning comes solely on you, because you have given us value, you have given us true meaning. And Lord God, please be with us, Lord. Lord God, we're going to struggle each and every day. We're going to struggle to figure out what life means. We're going to struggle, Lord, because the answer for this world is you. Lord God, that's not always easy when we're going through the pain of life. So be with us no matter what. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Seven.